This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Friday, December 15th, 2017. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Mostly cloudy, breezy, cold, flurries early evening today with a high temperature of 33. It's 30 degrees this hour.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, also sponsored by Baker's Square. The market's taken off like a rocket this morning on anticipation of tax reform becoming a reality soon. Let's get the latest from Elisa Parenti of Bloomberg.
That's right, Rob. And Chris, so stocks shooting up on reports the Senate is close to an agreement on its tax overhaul package. Fence-sitting Senator Marco Rubio now says he will support the plan. All three of the averages now are trading at the highest levels ever. The Dow up 146. The level, 24,655. The NASDAQ is up 72 points. Its previous high, 69.12. Right now, 69.29. And the S&P also up 24 points to 26.76, improving its highest ever close by about a dozen points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is part of the rally, higher by more than 1%. Tech stocks are performing well today. The best performing blue chips are Microsoft and Intel, and Costco having a banner day, up 3.5% after the wholesale chain posted a 10% jump in comp store sales and even a bigger jump for its online sales. Well, we've got to talk about Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Apparently, in its preview last night, Disney said it was the biggest grossing film of the year, an estimated $45 million for all time. It's coming in second place behind Star Wars The Force Awakens 2 years ago. Back to you, Robin, Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we are going to be discussing where we are right now with the tax bill and the breaking developments that have been happening just in the last hour. And, of course, Star Wars is on our list today. We're going to talk about its great success in previews.
And from a galaxy far, far away, we go to the FCC and talk about the impact of the net neutrality decision. There's been a lot of punditry about what's going to happen. We will talk to one voice about what you can count on in the future. And then it's Entrepreneur Friday. It's a twofer Friday for you. We will talk to the owner of Bentley's Pet Stuff in Long Grove. They sell organic pet food. And then we'll talk to somebody who wants to make text messaging fun. All that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Star Wars The Last Jedi hit theaters last night. It's already setting records. We'll take a closer look at the film phenomenon in our next segment. Right now, the Republican tax reform bill continues to move forward in Washington, and there are new developments today. Let's get the latest from Peter Morici, professor at the University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business and former chief economist at U.S. International Trade Commission in College Park, Maryland. Peter, thanks for joining us today. It looks as if Mr. Rubio has given the movement here some good news.
Yes, it seems that way. It seems like we're going to get a tax cut. And whatever you might think of it, the market responds very favorably to that because it will increase bottom lines. A 21% corporate tax rate will make a difference.
Are you concerned? Is there anything that concerns you in this package?
Well, I felt that in order to have genuine tax reform, we needed to have a deeper personal income tax cut than we're actually getting. That is more money put into it, so that in the process of eliminating credits and deductions, everybody was made significantly better off. We don't have that, and that's why there's so many problems with this. And also, it's why it's so complex. You need all these phase-outs, to accomplish that, to basically stay inside the budget.
Peter, when this is all over, assuming that this is passed next week, and chances are that seems increasingly likely, are there going to be any unintended consequences or gotchas that may be lurking inside this legislation because it came together so quickly?
There's got to be. Now, they've tried to find them, but there's going to have to be a bill that fixes things that are wrong that are discovered afterwards. There's no two ways about it. And, you know, I think that would have been a problem unless we had hearings that went on for years, because after all, they've been looking at all this for a very long period of time. And I don't know that you'd ever come to a conclusion that way. It's very much like healthcare. In the end, you take the leap of faith. The thing is so complex, again, because there's a limited amount of money involved. I would have preferred they had just cleared the decks, gotten rid of both taxes, and replaced it with a value-added tax, and then given a fixed amount to every person in the country to compensate for the fact that a value-added tax is not as progressive. But if you did that, that would cover it. And then we'd basically be starting over. But we're not getting to start over. That's the problem.
Senator Marco Rubio in Florida said he wasn't going to support the bill unless they expanded the child tax credit, which they have agreed to do. And he now says that he will vote with a majority. Is this something that was necessary?
Well, it was necessary to get his vote. I think that that some of the stuff that's gone on has been excessive. For example, Susan Collins getting a special deduction for school teachers on supplies. They're getting much lower rates. They're getting $24,000 per family deduction. I think that covers it. I don't think teachers need any more deductions than anyone else. By the way, I'm married to a school teacher. I am a school teacher. Got it? Okay. I mean, but the point is that she's into goodies and benefits like any good Democrat, even though she runs on the Republican ticket. But I've spoken to you about that before.
Well, it's always nice to speak with you, Peter. Thanks for joining us. Peter Morici is, he's a professor at University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business and former chief economist at the U.S. International Trade Commission in College Park. And you can find him on Twitter at P. Morici, MORICI1. Up next, the latest film in the Star Wars franchise soars to new box office heights.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Star Wars The Last Jedi has taken in more than $45 million in its first night of previews. Let's see what numbers we can expect. We're joined by Paul Dergarabedian, who is a senior media analyst at ComScore in Los Angeles. Paul, welcome back to the program. One analysis that I saw from The Hollywood Reporter earlier this week is they expected to do about $450 million worth of business worldwide by Sunday. And that would actually be down from the number that was generated by The Force Awakens in 2015. Does that still appear to be the case? Are they still on track for that $450 million opening this weekend?
Yeah, I think that's a good assessment of the situation. Though I think it's unfair to compare any movie to The Force Awakens. 2 years ago, that posted the biggest opening weekend in North America ever, $248 million. After doing $57 million in previews, The Last Jedi did $45 million in previews last night alone, and it's on track to have perhaps a $200 million-plus opening weekend in North America. That would make it only the fourth film to ever do that. So taken by itself, The Last Jedi is a complete winner. It's a great movie, but if you compare any movie to The Force Awakens, which was the product of decades of pent-up excitement and enthusiasm, that would be hard to do. But this movie really delivers. I think we're going to see it overperform a bit this weekend and still have a huge opening weekend in North America and around the world.
Well, it's safe to say that Disney has probably recouped their investment when they purchased the Star Wars franchise from Fox 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's the understatement of the year. I got to tell you, they really have done a magnificent job with these new films, including the anthology films, the first of which was last year with Rogue One, which also performed incredibly well around the world, made over $1 billion worldwide. And then we have the Han Solo project that opens on Memorial Weekend in 2018, right around the corner. And then 2 years from now, we'll have Episode 9, the next in the Star Wars saga. So this is the gift that keeps on giving, the big billions of dollars to Disney and Lucasfilm was certainly a wonderful acquisition for them.
Well, it's certainly been a big week for Disney, not only this preview, all the money here, but also it's buying a number of Fox assets. So that's really going to put it in a good place.
That's right. And for Disney, that's really a play for the streaming world. I mean, they want to have control of their own destiny in terms of streaming. And if they have the Lucasfilm properties, the Pixar properties, the Marvel properties, Walt Disney feature animation, all under one banner, and the ability to combine that with the X-Men Marvel side of things that Fox handled, plus the Fox properties, filmed properties, that's a huge coup for them. And that creates a juggernaut, a giant in this mega merger.
Well, Paul, I know you've seen the movie. I don't want you to give us any spoilers, but yeah. The trailers do have these little fuzzballs called porgs. Yes. Are they going to be under every tree in America next week?
They could be. They're pretty darn cute. And yes, I will not spoil anything for the potential viewer out there. This movie has so many goosebump-inducing moments. It really is spectacular. See it. Obviously, the only way you can see it right now is in a theater, and that's the best way to see this movie with other like-minded, very excited Star Wars aficionados. It's going to be a great weekend at the movies.
Thanks a lot. Paul Derigabedian, who is a senior media analyst with ComScore based in Los Angeles. Business coming up next.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get the latest in business news with Elisa Parenti.
Well, Chris, we have record-breaking gains, not just for the Dow and S&P, but today the NASDAQ composite also joining in. The blue chip's up 140 to 24,649. The NASDAQ is advancing 70 points. That's a gain of 1%. S&P up 23 points to 2675. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also gaining more than 1%. Crude futures higher by almost half a percent to 57.28 a barrel. As for the grains, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
A little higher early, corn up 2, beans up 4, and wheat up 3. We quickly went negative at the moment. March corn down 1 3/4, 3.46 3/4. May down 1.5 at 3.55 1/4. Jan beans down 2 1/4 at 9.65 1/2. July down 2 3/4 at 9.96 3/4. November's down 1 3/4, and we have March wheat down 2 1/4 at 4.16. Lower across the board to end the finish up the week. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities. And Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are flying high today. We'll see what's elevating the markets.
The FCC repeals the Obama-era open internet order, but not everybody thinks it's the worst thing that could happen.
In Entrepreneur Friday, we meet the owner of a local pet supply business that's grown into a national chain, plus the founder of an app that helps turn texting into a game.
Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson touts reforms in his department and vows more improvement in the new year.
Business, the Dow is up 140 points right now, the S&P 500 up 22, and the NASDAQ is up 69.
32 degrees, a wind chill of 21. We'll see a high of 30 this afternoon.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also sponsored by PatrickCars.com. The FCC's repeal of net neutrality rules generating a lot of talk today, with some people claiming it's the end of the internet as we know it. Let's get some perspective from Shelley Palmer, who is the CEO of the Palmer Group based in New York. Shelley, welcome back to the program. A lot of analysis about what this FCC ruling about net neutrality means and how it will affect your experience with the internet. Some are predicting throttling and having to pay a lot more for certain types of content. Are those predictions warranted?
Well, in practice, I doubt it. I think there's been a lot of hysterics and there's been all kinds of sensationalist headlines about all the doom and gloom and things that can happen. You have to remember that prior to 2015, there was no regulation, particularly about the internet. For the last couple of years, we've had a version of net neutrality. It specifically said you can't block a lawful website, you can't throttle traffic, and there's no paid prioritization. But at the same time, there was a service available to you called Zero Rating Service, if you're an ISP, that allowed you to do anything you want with your own fast lane. And not the idea that this is new or that somehow all of a sudden this deregulation is the end of the world, I don't think that's correct. I think your internet tomorrow will be like it was. And for a long time, the thing that's interesting that no one is speaking about, well, there are two things. One, if you've got a problem with any of this, do some research about what really it is you'd like the law to look like. I have some writings at ShellyPalmer.com, but the internet is filled with writings about this. And understand the FCC is a regulatory agency. It's not a law. The legislature, the Senate, will write a law about the internet. They want a law about the internet. Tell your congressman and tell your senator, write a law. Senator Schumer's today going to announce that he's going to go and get a review going and try and get serious about this. If you want it, you have to write your elected officials. That's thing one. Thing two, where this is going to get interesting is Facebook has Facebook ID, and it knows where you are in every device, and Google has Google ID, and it knows where you are in every device. And now that they've deregulated the ISPs and the providers of wireless services, they can, because they know where your devices are, they can form their own IDs. And so it actually may put a situation together where some of the big content companies are challenged. Some of the way that advertising works may be challenged or changed. And I wouldn't think it's for the worse. Two, or B, or however you want to put this, characterize it. Secondly, now that they can kind of charge each other, meaning the ISPs can kind of charge each other as they see fit, it actually might have the reverse effect. You might have a situation where they're charging consumers less because they're able to pick up the money they need internally, where they meet each other and have to build servers and capacity that no one's paying for. Lastly, in all of human history, up until 1986, human beings created 227 exabytes of data. Today, we create 1.86 exabytes of data an hour.
I'm picking my jaw up off the floor. I mean, the amount of information that we generate right now is really staggering. Great insights, as always, Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group based on New York. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Shelley Palmer and at his website, ShelleyPalmer.com.
Well, the markets are trading higher, especially in NASDAQ this afternoon. We're talking with Jim Awad, Managing Director at Plimsoll Mark Capital in New York. We're seeing the markets today doing very well. Are they reacting to the tax reform bill?
Yes, they're primarily in the short term to the tax reform bill. But the big picture is the news is good and getting better. It's better than many of us would have thought several months ago. But the economy actually seems to be accelerating somewhat as we go into the important holiday season. Retail sales yesterday were strong. Then the Tax Act could add $10 per share to S&P earnings next year. And yet inflation for the moment is remaining low enough that the Fed, although they're going to gradually raise rates, is unlikely to raise them to a level that will be threatening to the financial markets or the economy. So you really are in a sweet spot that I think should last several months. On the other side of the coin, you are seeing signs of possible overenthusiasm, which someday will come back to be a problem. You have record flows of money into stock funds and stock ETFs the last few weeks, which typically happens at the melt-up capitulation stage in the cycle. And then there's this whole question about the whole world speculating in the cryptocurrencies and how much of that is grounded in reality and how much of it is speculation. So you have a runway here where the news is good and getting better. Earnings are good and getting better. The basic environment is positive, but you're starting to see excess speculation creep into the markets, which leads me to believe that before 2018 is over, you might have a problem. But right now, things look awfully darn good.
All right, Jim, thanks so much. Jim Awad, Managing Director of Plimsoll Mark Capital in New York. Up next, part one of Entrepreneur Friday, a pet supply store that started with one location in the suburbs. It's gone national.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour. Today, our focus is on our four-legged friends and the people who own them. Lisa Sanafe is founder and owner of Bentley's Pet Stuff in Long Grove, Illinois. Lisa, welcome to the Noon Business Hour. What differentiates you from the rest of the crowd that has pet stores?
Thank you so much for having me on. The biggest differentiator is, you know, our product line and what we carry. We're really particular on the needs of the pets and what's important to them nutritionally. So, you know, we make sure our stores have a good variety of food, treats, toys, but none of our food has corn, wheat, or soy, or any food or treats from China. We make sure we have a great all-natural selection, and we have a little bit of a smaller footprint. You know, our stores are typically around 2,200 square feet, and our focuses are strong on our customer service and educating our staff so that they can educate our consumers as well.
Well, it looks like you've done a nice job here. You started here in the Chicago area. You have 86 locations now nationwide. How did you get there?
Well, it's been a whirlwind. We started our first location in 2008. Most of our growth has happened literally in the last 24 months. 24 months ago, we were at 7 locations, and we built it up one by one. And then we came to a crossroads where we realized, you know, we really want to go and do this big and get more, more of the options of the better, healthier foods out there to a lot more pet people or pet, you know, parents. And our goal was to grow and expand. And so, we end up applying to the show The Prophet and got connected with Marcus Lemonis. And he has just been an extremely tremendous help, not just monetarily, but honestly as a mentor and guiding us through how to build a better structure in the back end and help us to expand and see the big picture and growth.
10 years ago, we had the melamine outbreak in pet food, and it harmed a great many pets. Were you around for that, and did that push you into the business world, so to speak?
So we opened up about a year after that, but it definitely gave a heightened awareness to our consumers. So they were walking in and asking these questions. So it definitely kind of launched our first location into that direction. But I had a history of growing up in nutrition. It was always my thing, and growing up wanting to be a vet. So it just kind of all connected the dots for me to do this, to be a part of this retail world. When I opened the first store, I had no idea that I'd be at 86 stores later on, especially 9 years later on that growth path.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and best wishes for the future. Lisa Sanofe, founder and owner of Bentley's Pet Stuff in Long Grove, Illinois. Still to come on this Entrepreneur Friday, putting more fun into text messaging.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is part two of Entrepreneur Friday. In this segment, we're learning about a new app, and it is developed by James Langer, founder of the app Subtext here in Chicago. James, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much for having me.
I was intrigued by the description that you gave. Your mobile app gamifies text messaging and takes texting to the next level. What is the next level?
The next level is being able to figure out and quantify exactly the people that you text with the most, the people that text you the most, and also gives you the ability to search for old text messages. You can also earn achievements. Such as with the person that you text with the most or you send the most emojis to. So it's a very fun way of kind of gamifying what your text messaging activity is.
This would also have to assume that the person that you're texting, that you do have kind of a fun rapport with that person, because after a while, I mean, if you're married or you're in the business of running a household, most of your texts involve things to pick up at the grocery store.
Things you have to do.
And you could you could probably develop the pick this up at Home Depot prize before too long.
Yes, that is correct. But it's also fun for being able to identify those text messages that you may have lost if your mother texts you and you forgot to respond to her. You can flip through very easily in the app and say, oh shoot, I forgot to respond to my mother. So it's very valuable and fun from many different perspectives.
How do you make money?
We make money through advertisements and our ad banners. So we have a free version, and then we have a 99-cent ad-free version. So those are the two sources of revenues for the app.
How was it developing this in Chicago? What was the atmosphere here?
It was really great. Chicago's been a very robust city for technology development. I think we're underrated in the country in terms of the amount of talent that is here in the city. There are some amazing development firms, and I was lucky to find one that I couldn't speak higher of. So it's very, very easy to work with and a lot of fun at the same time.
And what's the benchmark for success for you right now?
Really, the benchmark of success is just getting people to download the app, the number of people that download the app, and then being able to monitor kind of the aggregate texting activities of our customers. So we've been out for about 2 weeks and are very happy with our success so far, and are looking forward to kind of the snowball effect occurring of people telling their friends about the app and how much fun it is to play with.
Well, we will be keeping an eye on this, too. James, nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us today. James Langer, founder of the app Subtext here in Chicago. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we have the replay podcast available shortly at cbschicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Business sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialist. Here's Elisa Parenti of Bloomberg.
Rob, the gains are sticking, and we have the three main averages headed to records across the board, and they're comfortably higher than previous records. The Dow up 150 points, 24,658, so almost 100 points higher than its previous high. The NASDAQ is up 76 points at 6934. That is about 25 points above its highest close. S&P 2676, gaining 25. It's beating its previous record of 2664. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining more than 1%. Costco is having a good day today. It posted better than expected sales results, up more than 10% for the last quarter compared to the previous year, and its online sales up even more. With business at 25 and 55 live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.